Join with us for the scripture reading. And today's scripture comes from Psalm 148 and Luke 2, 25 through 35. So we'll start with Psalm 148. Alleluia! Praise God from the heavens. Praise God in the heights. Praise God, all you angels. Praise God, all you hosts. Praise God, sun and moon. Praise God, all you shining stars. Praise God, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of God, by whose command they were created. God established them forever and ever and gave a decree which won't pass away. Praise God from the earth, you sea creatures and you ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and mist, and storm winds that fulfill God's word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small animals and flying birds, rulers of the earth, leaders of all nations, all the judges in the world, young men and young women, old people and children, all, let them all praise the name of God, whose name alone is exalted, whose majesty transcends heaven and earth. And who has raised up a horn for God's people to praise, to the praise of the faithful, the children of Israel, the people dear to God. Hallelujah.
Luke 2, 25 to 35. Now there lived in Jerusalem a man named Simeon. He was devout and just, anticipating the consolation of Israel, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit, who had revealed to Simeon that he wouldn't see death until he had seen the Messiah of God. Prompted by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came to the temple, and when the parents brought in the children to perform the customary rituals of the law, he took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Now, O God, you can dismiss your servant in peace, just as you promised, because my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared for all the peoples to see, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." And the child's mother and father stood there marveling at all the things that were being said. Simeon blessed and said to Mary, the mother, "This child is destined for the downfall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that is rejected, so that the secret thoughts of many may be laid bare, and a sword will pierce your heart as well."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Josh and Paige. What a year 2023 has been for the two of you. So good to have you join us in worship. Can we go to the Zoom screen real quick? I just want to see, is Caleb there? Anybody see Caleb on there?
Yeah,
No, I
Caleb's
don't
not
see
here
him.
tonight.
Shucks, he's in India. I wanted to ask him how 2024 is. If anyone else is that far away, let us know. Give us a thumbs up how 2024 is. How's the end of 2023 looking there, Gene and Whit? Are we looking good as we're coming to the end? Good.
Looking good.
Yeah, pretty good.
Good.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. So listen again to what the story that Josh just read for us, the story of Simeon. So here we are, days after the birth of Jesus, in the temple in Jerusalem. Old man Simeon, guided by the Holy Spirit, has been told that he will not die before he sees the Messiah. And so day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, Simeon is there waiting to see the Messiah. And along comes a young woman and a young man carrying a child, something that I'm sure he's seen, because what they're about to do is a ritual that is part of the Jewish faith that every parent, every group of parents, and every child would go through. But there's something that is very different. And all of a sudden, Simeon realizes that this child that he has seen is indeed the Messiah. and he takes the child in his arms. The first words he say are ones that are known by many folks, nunc dimittis. Now I may go in peace. Now I may go in peace, because he has indeed seen what God has promised to him, that he would see the Messiah. And he holds the child to bless the child. And think about that. Think about if you are ever holding a newborn and you're looking down at that face when they're not screaming, and all the innocence of the world, all the possibilities and hopes are contained right there in what you are, in what you are doing. I remember I was still the pastor at Kapa'a United Church of Christ in 1992, 31 plus years ago, when I baptized my son Micah. And in Kapa'a on that day, we and Kirsten and I, instead of having worship in the sanctuary, we invited everyone up to our home. And our home was right on a piece of property right next to the trail that goes up to Nono, Sleeping Giant. So we invited those who wished to go walk with us first. And about a quarter mile up the trail, you come to a grove of Norfolk pines, beautiful place. And we stopped there and we did a little bit of our worship service there. We didn't go all the way to the top because I didn't want to have to do any, you know, heart procedures on folks that were pushing themselves too hard. We came back down to our house. All this time I had my son strapped to my chest. And every time I would say something, I would look down at him and his eyes would look up, or he'd sleep, even better. And all I could envision, particularly when it's your firstborn, when you have a second or third born, you already know that it's not so peaceful all the time. But that firstborn, looking down on him, and I could just envision that my son was going to change the world. And we all, parents, have all had that experience. And so here's Simeon holding this child that he knows is the Messiah. Here is the opportunity for him to be filled with blessings and possibility and hope. And instead, he looks at Mary, who he will tell soon that what will happen to your child is going to pierce your heart. Can you imagine the next time I do an infant baptism, that I'm standing there with the parents and I say, by the way, what's going to happen to your child is going to pierce your heart in the future. It's not exactly the moment that we're looking at, but here he is in this blessing. He's going to say that to his mother. But before he says that, he says, this child is destined. This child is appointed for the falling and rising of many. The falling and rising of many. Think about that phrase in the way it is used, because usually when we hear falling and rising, it's reversed. It's the rise and fall of the Roman Empire, the rise and fall of the Third Reich. We as a people kind of like to see those who are famous and have risen all the way up. We kind of enjoy the fall. Just a little bit, the gossip in us goes for that. Those who have been able to have the wings of Pegasus and have flown too close to the sun. And in that phrase, instead of the rise and fall, but instead the fall and rise, in many ways, the whole biblical narrative comes into place. Because as a people of faith, it is not the focus. Our focus is not on, oh, life is good and then it's going to fall. It is just the opposite. That we are indeed called to be a people. We know we are going to fall. We know we are going to fail. We know we are going to come short. But the promise that is part of the story of our faith is that that is not the end of the story. But instead, the end of the story is the rise. It is the fall and the rise. Rise and fall is for folks that are ego, is an ego-driven kind of thing, because we are looking to see that fall of others as we are comparing ourselves to others. But the fall and rise is something that is God-centered, that God is at the center of what will happen in our lives. So I don't wish to be Pollyannish about this or anything else, just to say to you, so with all the disasters and all the stuff that's going on in the world right now, don't worry, everything's going to rise and all will be good. In fact, we know that life is sometimes incredibly hard. We know that life is sometimes that we need to cry, and we need to cry hard. We need to scream, and we need to scream hard. Just a couple of weeks ago in our service, we talked about the biblical history, the biblical reality of lament. and the need for lament, that is part of the biblical story, is to be able to lament, to talk about, to be able to express to God and to one another that life is hard. And here in the service, we stopped the service and allowed folks a chance to share their laments. And there were those who came up to me afterwards and said, you know what, my lament was so intense that I couldn't even stand up at that time. And that's fine. We are allowed as a people of faith to be people who recognize that life hurts and struggles and is a fall at times. It feels like we are falling and we are as if we're going off a cliff and we cannot grab a hold of anything that is going to help us. And if that's where you are right now in your life, if that's where you are right now, where you are in that free fall, it's okay. And it's okay to be upset. It's okay to be angry about it. It's okay. For you have a community of faith, which is here, whose arms are outreached, whose heart is forward, reaching out to you as well. And we will hold you in that time. And when you think about this that I'm just now doing, is this not the shape of the cross? Arms outreached, heart forward. This is what the community of faith is called to be for those who are struggling and those who are hurting. Because let's be clear, life can sometimes really be hard. Right now, at this time of the year, it's not easy because the whole world is telling you you're supposed to be happy. But there are people who are sitting at tables and families with those who are not there. I can count on one hand the number of Christmases in which I was not with either my mom and dad or both, my mom and dad or one of them. One hand. That number has just increased this year. And if I live a long life, I will need both hands, I will need my feet, and whatever else I can find to count. Because that table was empty, my mom having passed. It's hard at times. We live in a time where there is so much conflict that it is impossible to celebrate. In Bethlehem, at this time every year, there is a pilgrimage of thousands of people who come to Bethlehem to join in celebration and festivities in Bethlehem. And this year, all the churches of Bethlehem gathered together and said, we will do no celebrations and no festivities in order to stand in solidarity with those, their family members, their community in Gaza that was struggling so. It is hard. Life is sometimes feels like a fall. We live in a time of climate crisis. My son, my daughter-in-law, my daughter are now in Minneapolis area. 1 year ago, on Christmas Day, it was 22 degrees on Christmas Day, and there was 10 inches of snow. That's what it's supposed to be like in Minneapolis. That's why we thought, Naya, dear, why is it this time of the year that you're flying to Minneapolis to move? It was 55 degrees this year. There was no snow on the ground. The lakes that had frozen over were beginning to melt. This is global crisis. This is global weirding. This is a world in which it is scary. There are things to be afraid of, things to be concerned of. And so we understand as a people that that fall that Simeon talks about, the falling, is a part of our lives. And if we try to deny it, we are denying reality. But let me invite you, if you are able, to also take the other part of Simeon's words. There is a falling and there is a blessing. There's a falling and a rising, because it is the rising, ultimately, which is the story of what it means to be a people of faith, that the world is not defined by the horrible things that happen, but by the possibilities and hopes that we live in together. And so I invite you to use Psalm 148, and if you want to, you can pick up your hymnal on page 721. We're not going to sing this. Chris, you want to come up and sing this? No, just kidding. We are not going to sing this, but you can sort of follow along, because what I want you to do is I want you to look at Psalm 148, and not as fun words to read that Paige just read for us, but actually as words to emulate, words to participate in, 721, if you want to look at it. Because here is the psalmist who is singing a song of praise, singing a song of praise, part of the rising that is all around us. And this psalm, in the first four verses, the words praise God are what you hear in Hebrew. And you know those words. So it's a combined, to say praise God is a combination word. The first part is hallelujah. You all know that. Hallelujah. That's praise. And the second part is Yah. Hallelujah. Yah is a shortening of Yahweh, which is the word most used by the Hebrew people to define their creator God. Hallelujah. So, a few weeks ago when we sang that song, Hallelujah, 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 when we had the Keiki over here who got the part of being Yah, they were singing the name of God. Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. So this psalm, eight times in the first four verses, says Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. And it gets repeated throughout the rest of the song.
Should I get on the market?
Yeah, well, oh, there we go.
Praise God, sun, and moon. Did you all know that Christmas this year was full, and it was a glorious full. Well, it's not full today, but it's at about 3/4 of the wean fetus. Waxing fetus. 3/4 of the moon. At about 10:30 tonight, so. While you're celebrating with your friends, waiting for the new year's or trying to keep your eyes open so that you can be there for the new year's, walk outside, look for that moon. It's still a glorious moon. Allow yourself to be part of the rising by walking where the song goes and joining with the moon in praise of the creators and celestial being and the stars. This month, there is a meteor that will happen over the next 2 or 3 weeks, maybe on January 4th, with about 120 meteors on January 4th. Go outside one night, and even into our night sky that doesn't look anything like what the Hebrew night sky looked like 2,000 years ago. They didn't have all the light that we have. Still see the glory. Mercury, we don't often see, is rising in the morning. So we need to get up early, go watch that sunrise. Look for Mercury. Mercury's there. Allow yourself to rise with the grace of the psalmist to be part of the praise. Song goes on, and it talks about the lightning and the wind and the hailstorm. You know, wow. Yeah. Although I do remember the one in 2014 that we had in Kailua on the same day that they were launched, impacted a mini tornado. Talk about global weary, that those things are happening in water. But tonight, we have an approximation of lightning and hailstorms and all the illegal fireworks that will be going off tonight. So, drug your dogs if you need to. My dog call is Stone Dogsy. If people are on the screen right now, I believe. Pray with you must against illegal fireworks and then go somewhere, climb into your treehouse if you have one, whatever you need to do, and watch some of the fireworks that makes and realize that they are but a small invitation of the glory that God has created in hailstorms and in thunder and in lightning and all that. And enjoy that possibility as here they are. Those things are exciting with their exuberance, the psalmist says. And the psalmist talks about mountains, the ocean. Well, guess what? When you go watch that sunrise or sunset, take your shoes off going home. Take your shoes off and at least get your feet wet. Take your shoes off and let your feet get wet. Get wet in my throat.
Now we can get wet. Let's see how that works.
Stand up and stand. When you stand up and stand, you're standing.
Okay. Did you want to switch everything back?
That's sand.
What? Just this.
That's sand. That's sand. The block. The sand.
Is all about a transformation from that which is hard and difficult to that which is like sand on our feet. Next time you decide to take a vacation, Waikiki, or take a vacation somewhere where you're going to book a hotel room, and you have the opportunity to have a mountain or ocean view, I invite you to choose the mountain view. Not just because it's cheaper, but the mountains are every bit as beautiful
maybe
as the ocean.
From here.
Those mountains are every bit as beautiful. Another psalmist says, I look to the hills, I look to the mountains, from whence cometh my help. Allow yourselves to enter into this psalm to be part of the very praise that is going on. And even if you go down to Waikiki for that staycation, that place that has become a foothold of commercialism and everything else that you might say, we can't possibly find God there. Even if you get down to Waikiki, just realize that even in a place like Waikiki, all of that praise can be found. Deborah Ball wrote me an email just the other day in which she talked about going down to Kaimana Beach, and she had an encounter of the turtle kind as she put a mask and snorkel on her face and her fins, and she swam out there and came to the shore, and there was the young monk seal waiting for her. Well, probably for her mom or its mom, but for Deborah, it was waiting for her. Go down to Kapi'olani Park at dusk. Go down to Kapi'olani Park at dusk and sit under a banyan tree and listen to the birds as they come home and start talking about their day with each other. It is filled with praise. Here's the reality. Life is hard. Life is unpredictable. Life can be full of melancholy. Life can be unstable. Life can be difficult. But we are also invited to not have to simply live there only, but to be surrounded with people in a community of faith that also reminds us that our faith is defined by these very same kinds of things in which we can stop and we can praise God for all the goodness that is a part of our life as well. That is a part of who we are as well. That the story of our faith is one in which we know that the shadows of the night are not the final word, but the dawn will always come. The elements of our faith are ones in which we know that the rock will always be rolled away from the tomb so that the Christ can rise within us. The challenge is the story of our faith is one where very disagreeable and hard people like Paul can be transformed into the person that can give us the words of the 1 Corinthians 13 all about love. The story of our faith is not a story of the rise and fall, but is a story of the fall and rise. We are invited, and here we are, the cusp of a new year. Why not start our new year? Why not start our new year in such a way that we give ourselves a chance to say Alleluia, 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 to praise God for the opportunities given to us to be with one another, to be in this world, and to live into that very rise that we are called to be a part of. Amen. Mm-hmm.